Hello. George Hallford back with a really good friend, a guy that I admire, have worked with for 20 years, Mike, since we've been here. We've got another retiree sitting across from me, Mike Atwood. When I first met you, LoJack, you were the CEO here and chairman of the county commission and just a good guy, neighbor.
Aren't you county,
and this is about you, not about me. It's about people who make a difference or people who make up the fabric of our community. I got a hard job, Mike. I got to be quiet, and that's killing me already. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, George. I'm not sure I'm worthy to be here, but I appreciate you. And I appreciated your friendship. You know, we came to Cookeville about the same time and been here about 20 years, and both of us have enjoyed it.
Enjoyed each other.
Enjoyed the neighborhood. Played golf together.
And, I hacked around. You played a little bit.
Well, we've had a great run. So you know what? It's been great.
So I tell you what we want to do.
Okay.
And I shared this with you before we came on the air. This show is a little different, hopefully, than some other shows, but it's got some of the same characteristics. You know, all great religions, and certainly our Christian faith, Mike, and certainly Billy Graham. There's three great questions in life. Who am I, where'd I come from, and where am I going? And I want you to drill deep. This is about you. We're going to start at age birth. Don't spend all day in high school. But let's go deep. Let's talk about you growing up and your parents and school and hobbies and passions. And we'll spend the first several minutes just talking about growing up.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll do it talk as fast because it's not too good stuff. I mean, it's nothing I'm sure people would care about. But, you know, I was born in Lebanon, Tennessee. 50-something, 60 miles from here. It was home. The Atwood family grew up, was there. So that's where I was born. I don't know whether fortunately or unfortunately, but we moved away at a young age when I was young to the great state of Alabama, and I went through sixth grade in Birmingham, Alabama, Roll Tide.
That explains the Alabama Crimson Tide. Didn't know that.
Well, and I have to share that because people think if you're in Tennessee, you're supposed to be a Tennessee fan, and I get that.
Yeah, you do.
But if you're in the state of Alabama, I promise you, at a young age, you got to make a decision real early. You're going to be an Alabama or an Auburn friend, and there's no in-between.
It's so real, isn't it?
Choose early. So I grew up in Legion Stadium watching the Iron Bowl and Bear Bryant and Sugar Jordan. And so it was a great childhood as far as that's concerned. But sixth grade, we came back to Tennessee, and I've ended up growing up in Donelson, went to Donelson High School, was the next to the last class to graduate from Donelson High School. Played most all sports there, and just another great time in my life. I loved high school, just didn't love studying. So
No.
Grades were not were not very good. So, but got through it, and I'm just happy the history there and the things that I enjoyed and the friends that I've made still have. Celebrated, I don't know, over 50 years since 1970 when we graduated. But
we're tracking, buddy. We're tracking.
So it's great. But we moved back to Donelson area, and then if you remember the lottery back when there was no draft. There was a lottery, and may have been involved.
Yes, sir.
But the lottery was not real kind to me. Let me say. I was in school at David Lipscomb University then, and I drew the number 11 in the lottery. So the first 50 people.
Congratulations.
The first 50 people that whose number was 1 to 50 got a letter in the mail pretty quick.
From Uncle Sam.
Well, real quick. It's report 2. So, but I can honestly tell you that I went through some other times and ended up going to the Army and actually the Army National Guard because of the death of my mother. I was able to do that. But anyway, I went in as a boy and I came back a man. I'm honest with you about that. So education became different. My priorities became different. And I think, like I said, God just led me into adulthood because of the experience I had in services. So
sure.
I'm blessed by that.
So you graduated from high school, went to Lipscomb, and then Uncle Sam. You know, a little commercial here about, you know, the draft, looking back, yeah, we didn't like it at the time, but, you know, military service or some kind of service is was good for our country.
Oh, it's good for people.
For people, growing up a man or a woman, you said that.
I believe personally, and a lot of folks would argue with me, especially mothers and daddies, but I think like Israel, I think everybody should have an obligation, a 1 or 2 year obligation, everybody, man or woman, because I think it's important for growth. I think it's important for us, you know, having the feeling for our country we need to have.
Amen.
For the freedoms that we have and all those things. And I think it's a positive thing. However, government doesn't agree, so that's okay. That's okay.
Well, the Mormons have a 2-year missionary, do they not? So it's it's work for a lot of people. And
absolutely.
So you did that and you came back and.
Well, my mother died. I was telling
you,
that.
Yep.
And that's kind of what changed my direction as far as military is concerned. But it also changed my direction for life in general, because the funeral director that buried my mother, for whatever reason, I guess took a liking to old Mike and offered me a job. He told me as soon as I was over the grieving process of my mother that he'd like to offer me a job.
Well, how about that?
Back in those days, the funeral homes ran the ambulances. So there was a need for a big inventory of people who could 24/7 jump in the ambulance and go make ambulance calls. And so basically, but in so doing, it also put you into the funeral business. And, the Bible teaches that all things do work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to their purpose.
Amen.
Well, from that experience, I'll just be frank with you, a career was created. And so I worked for him for a period of time. And then over the course of 5 or 6 years from that, the opportunity availed itself that I could go to embalming school and get my license. So I became a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and I entered into that occupation for 15 years. And so that was a direct result of the loss of a mother. So I can tell you about the positive experience of what that had in my life anyway. So that's kind of where I went and got married and moved back to Lebanon.
Okay.
Actually, the Gladeville area.
Sure.
And so that's where we lived. I don't know how far you want me to go, but
you can go as far and deep as you want to go.
But that was a great thing. I love the funeral business. I love people. And that's what the funeral business affords you to do, is be with people at a time.
Folks, we're just getting started. We may have to be here all day. George Hoffer with Mike Atwood. Carry on, Mike. I just had to let them know what's going on.
Well, I appreciate it. We need to break for a minute? Or
no,
are we good?
No, we broke.
Oh, okay. Very good. Sorry. Well, anyway.
So you're in the funeral home business.
We opened.
In Lebanon. You're married. Okay.
Opened a funeral home in 1979 in Lebanon with my partner. And we were there. And, in fact, the business is still there. I sold my portion in the 90s. So changed careers. But it was still in me. And I've got a lot of experiences. In fact, a lot of people find it, I guess, crazy, but I embalmed my father.
Wow.
And a lot of people were wondering how you could do that. But for me, it was a no-brainer, because nobody knew him better than I did.
No question.
And I knew his life, and I knew the satisfaction of his life. And so it was an honor. And but anyway, I still love it, still keep my licenses, so that was a big part of it.
Might be able to give me a discount.
Well, that's absolutely. There's a couple of people that have asked me to embalm them. I don't know whether I will, I will.
You trained for the county commission in Putnam County in Lebanon, didn't you? In Wilson County. Share with our audience your experience of county government, and how you got into it, and whatever you want to tell us about that.
Well, I'd be glad to. I've always had an interest in government. I always wanted to be a part of it, I guess. And being a people person, certainly that's part of that, being its elections. And folks have to like you, I guess, to vote for you. At least that's the case I've seen. But anyway, in the early 80s, our county commissioner had to resign for moving out of our district.
Sure.
And, again, I was in the funeral business at that time. It would have been in the early 80s, and I can't remember exactly what year. But anyway, a group of the commissioners came out to the house to me and asked if I'd be interested. Well,
here you are.
Certainly I said yes, I'd be happy to do it. So I don't remember how much time was left, year and a half maybe, in that term. And so I served that time, and then the election came up, and I reran and was elected. And so that's kind of planted me, I guess, in the political arena.
I understand. Thank God for that.
Well,
served us well.
Well, it was a blessing because I enjoyed it still, love government and so forth. So, yeah, I believe all things from God. And so he was leading a journey that on a path.
Still on a journey.
Still on it. Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. So you're in the funeral business, and that, when I met you some 20-something years ago, you were in the local, the CEO of LoJack. You were in the region. How did all that happen?
Well, after I was—
You sold your part in the funeral business.
After I got out of the funeral business, my background, my father had been in the construction business.
Oh, okay.
And so I went to work for a local supplier, building supply company, sold for them for about a year. And new LoJack. LoJack's corporate office is in Lebanon. And so I started going by there and applied for a job. And before long, they hired me. And so I stayed in Lebanon as a salesman for several years. And we bought Suburban Supply.
Here
in Cookeville.
Okay.
Out on 15th. And so that's what we did. And I'll finish the story in just a minute.
No, you got it. We got a few seconds left on this segment.
Okay.
We're going to get you through this.
Well, I'm trying to talk fast.
You're doing well.
Well, anyway, I came to Lebanon as the division manager. They asked me, gave me a promotion, sent me to Lebanon as the division manager. We, at that time, Suburban Supply was a brick distributor, a brick and block distributor. And so LoJack in Lebanon had two block plants where we actually manufactured concrete block. Also bought in Livingston their block plant. So we took over two places.
Good place to segue. We're going to come right back with Mike Atwood, a man for all seasons, and be right back. George Hofford with Mike Atwood. We're just getting started, buddy. We've got you. We've got you born and going through the growing up, going through the military, and how you got into funeral home business, and how you're heading toward LoJack. So let's pick up. I met you 20 years ago or so. Let's pick up where we left off in the last segment and talk about your coming to Cookeville, and you mentioned Livingston and Suburban
Supply.
Yeah, let's pick up right there, and let's just.
Okay, well, yeah, we bought those. LoJack bought those businesses. Of course, Jack Lowry, who most people know, his wife was from Cookeville. In fact, her dad was a judge here for years.
No.
And so Connie was Jack's wife. So anyway, that's part of, I guess, coming to Cookeville. So anyway, they bought the businesses, and about a year and a half or so after they purchased them, they realized it was difficult to run those businesses from Lebanon, and they wanted a local presence. And so they asked me if I'd be interested in taking the division manager's job here. So I came in and took over the block and brick operation, the brick distribution center, the block plant in Livingston, and the customer base. And so we established a business here for LoJack. And it was great, and I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I was the greatest manager in the world.
You
get a lot of learning when you, I guess, manage people, and
you
I
were
did.
Telling me off the air that you'd only been here a year or so, and you ran for office because you had been in Wilson County, and you ran for the Putnam County Commission.
Well, that's right. Like I said, I started as the division manager probably in 2001 or 2002. So I commuted for two or three years from Lebanon until the company finally said, Mike, we need a presence there. And then we were going to – you need to go ahead and sell your home here and relocate to Cookeville. And we want you to be become part of the community.
Yes.
So in 2005, the wife and I sold our home in Lebanon, and we moved to Cookeville. And it was great. We enjoyed it. Moved to White Plains, found a wonderful house, which we're still in many years later.
We're neighbors,
And the first thing I think I got involved with was Leadership Putnam.
And, with the chamber,
I went through Leadership Putnam, and again, always having been a people person. The members, the other group that was with me in that in Leadership Putnam class, were the ones who actually encouraged me to run for county commission.
How about that?
And having, as you said, been a part of it in Lebanon, and I really had no reason not to do it.
You just picked up where you left off and Loving him. Communitarian.
Well, I
active.
I,
yeah. No
put
question.
My put my name on the ballot, never thinking, ever expecting
guess
to be
what?
Elected.
Well,
by 12 votes.
Well, 12 whole votes. Well, that's votes. It, buddy. That's it. That's great.
But anyway, it was God's leadership. And
amen.
I give glory to him because he has a purpose in your life. And that at that point was the purpose for me and his in my life. So I'm grateful for that. And fortunately, over the course of 16 years, the people of the 12th District asked me to stay up there, and so it was an honor.
Yep. You've mentioned your faith several times, and I don't know, you and I share that. And talk a little bit about your faith and what you're doing and some things you're doing now in retirement. You retired 4 years ago or so.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
And then you stayed on with – you were county commission chair to 5 years, I think you told me.
Yes, sir.
So you got all that going on, and here comes retirement, and God's got other plans for you, bigger plans for you. You might want to share with the audience those stories.
Well, I will, and I, again, I'm grateful to God, and I hope and pray that everyone is. But I can tell you what he's done in my life, and that's a witness that we can share and know for fact is true. Yes, 16 years I was reelected to the commission. Well, I lost the last election, in August, I guess, and also had retired, and I personally was not ready to retire, didn't know what I'd do in the morning, what would force me or the carrot that would be dangled to get me up in the morning. And so, to be frank with you, I really grieved it. The loss of the election.
Jesus time.
Absolutely. The loss of the election.
Amen.
As
I've
well
been
as
there.
The retirement.
I've been there.
I grieved that. And I did that for probably 6 or 8 months until, just be frank with you, the Lord grabbed a hold of me, took both arms and shook me pretty good. And he said, reach over and take both hands and take your head out of your butt.
And you did.
Because I got something else for you to do.
There you go.
And it was proven to be exactly his will, and he sent me to where he wanted me to be. And so praise God for that.
You know, George Hoffer, Mike Atwood, I share some of those personal things about grabbing hold and doing some things. But in my retirement, and there are a lot of people out there, Mike, who are facing retirement. And even though I was ready, it was time to go, and God's time, but are we ever really ready? It's real. We've been doing something for, 40, 50 years? Our audience is doing it. So it's not an easy transition for most people.
Well, when people tell you they look forward to retirement.
get ready.
It's not always.
No, and it's great. Don't get me wrong.
Thing.
You're right.
Yeah. Some people just not ready. And I wasn't. Didn't realize that until it happened. But, I wasn't. And so, but I am now.
Well, let's talk about God's plan since retirement. And then we'll have a little break in a little while, and then we'll come back and talk about that and the future.
Well, absolutely. Glad to. You know, God brings you in contact with a whole lot of people.
Yes.
And I'm fortunate that early in my Cookeville career, there were a lot of great people who invested in my life and who invested in my political life, for that matter. You know, I think of the Bob Duncans and the Reggie Shankses and, the Andy Honeycutts.
Yes.
They were all members of the county commission when I was first elected, and that those people invested in my life, the Jim Martins, the Bill Walkers.
You became part of the community. That's what happened to me. I mean, this is home.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And yet the most important investment in my life was the Lord.
Amen.
And so through the journey that I was on, not always so sure that I remembered that. And sometimes he just had to remind me. But I'm grateful and thankful. Jimmy Arms was at Stephen
Pastor
Street
Arms,
Baptist
yo,
Church and Tim Frank and Bob Ward and some other people there. That's where the wife and I landed church-wise. Just great. And
made a difference in your life.
Mentors. Yeah. Along my journey, there's just been a lot of people that invested in me, and I'm grateful for that and grateful for the time and trust that people put in me through that commission time.
You know, we're going to get back to that in the next segment, but you've shared with me offline that and helped me. God's got plans, And sometimes they're much bigger than you think they are, not what you plan. So I want us to come back in just a little while and talk about some of the things you're doing today. And then we're going to look in that crystal ball and talk about the future.
Absolutely.
And we got a few seconds left on this segment, but it's good to see you smile. I have not seen you in a while, and it's great to see a fellow retiree that's doing well and moving on down the line where you're supposed to be.
Well, that's kind. I appreciate it. And you as well. We've been friends and
neighbors.
Friends
and colleagues.
And I'm grateful again for the invitation to come and be here and just share some of the journey.
Well, we've talked about that, the influence of one person, influence of the spoken word or the written word, and it's made a difference in both of our lives.
Amen.
We're winding down this segment, but I can't wait for the next one. This is George Hoffer with Mike Atwood, and we're going to talk about what he's doing today and then what's God's plan for him in the future. Back soon. George Hoffer back with Mike Atwood. We're going to find out a little bit more about what Mike is doing now, will do in the future, and we're going to look in the future and talk about, as a former county commissioner, county chairman, you've been involved in some big things, and we've got decisions to make in the future, obviously, as we grow and develop and maintain community and the quality of life. But let's go back first to you share with me some things you're doing now that are making a difference in your life and certainly people's lives in our region.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share that, George. As I told you, after retirement and the grief that I went through for that, finally realized, and finally God spoke to my spirit and said, Mike, I got something else for you to do.
Amen.
So, you know, just listen and obey. And so
listening's a big thing. I know it is with me. I don't listen very well.
Major. And we don't all of us are guilty of that. We're filthy rags. He's the only one that has, that needs to be glorified. But anyway, he led me to the nursing home. That was his ministry for me. I had never really been involved in nursing home ministry. Even as growing up, I was a deacon in the church at one time. I'm thankful my parents raised me knowing the Lord. Thank you for that.
And amen.
Even though I can't say Mike lived by it all his life, but it never failed to be there, and it never failed for me to understand that that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
It's the whole thing of train up a child in the way he should go.
When he's old, he won't depart.
I know with my mother, there were about 10 years where every time I saw her, I apologized to her. She said, everybody's got to climb food seals, son.
And in the blessing to have parents that knew the Lord.
So blessed.
And took you there. And introduced you to him. So,
amen.
Anyway, when he told me to go to the nursing home, I'm not sure that I really understood.
Yeah, I understand.
But I went. I have a great friend. A lot of people know him. He was a pastor at the Life Church for a long time, the senior pastor, as a matter of fact. Ted Kohler is his name. And he had ministered in the nursing home himself just as a volunteer before he was employed. And so I was always impressed with that. He was one of my accountability group partners. We met on Saturday mornings. And anyway, so through that, I kind of was aware of what nursing home ministry was all about. And I invited him. I said, Ted, me and you need to minister together.
Amen.
If you would come with me or whatever, well— we decided that Signature was going to be the home that we love.
Okay, sure.
You can't really do justice if you go to all of them, because I wanted to know them personally.
You got to get to know the people.
And you need to minister them personally.
I understand the
things. It's hard to do that. There's 160 beds at Signature. If you can just do justice to
160
that many people, then you'll be successful. But anyway, that's what we did. We went to Signature, and over the course of the last two or three years, I guess, God has worked in a miraculous and mysterious way.
There's a ministry. We were sharing off air about the needs in a nursing home. You have a lot of people there that don't have anybody. Due to a lot of life situations, they are it. And
it's very sad. And there are people there with family whose family never, darkened the door. And so that is sad. And so it's a blessing to you as a volunteer minister or whatever.
You give, you receive.
To see that.
Yeah.
To see
yeah.
the joy that they have when you walk in that room and share with them whatever and just spend time with them. And by all means, at the end in prayer and let God, you know, welcome God into the relationship. And so it's been a blessing for Mike. So now our chaplain at Signature, we lost the chaplain of many years over there, Melinda Bilber, if you remember Miss Melinda.
I sure do.
She passed away about 2-3 months ago. And so they asked me if I'd volunteer chaplain. So I do Bible studies and we do devotions 2 or 3 days a week, whatever. And then I visit the rooms, try to visit all the folks in the rooms. And over the course of that time, I could tell you a lot of stories, but I don't want to take all the time.
Well, the Bible talks about we've talked about this, the fullness of time.
Amen.
And you have found a calling and you have found you're where God wants you.
I believe that. I do believe that, and I give him glory.
Amen.
It's not Mike Atwood. I mean, those who are Christians and know the Lord understand that. And I want to emphasize it because I'm filthy rags just like all of us, through the sin that's in the world. But because of the grace of Christ and the burial, death, and resurrection of our holy Savior, we've all been forgiven.
Amen.
And you know what? There's a song that says, "You met me day by day and knew I was astray, but never mentioned him to me."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I don't want that to be my case.
Amen.
I think that's all of
God's
our
not through you yet, my friend.
Thank goodness.
George Hoffer with Mike Atwood, and we're not going to be a threat to Jimmy Swaggart or some of our other ministers. But this community has a strong faith base.
Amen.
And I've been doing this show now for a few months, and you're not alone, and you're certainly. This is why we're still. Some of us are here, so we're gonna come. We just took a little break. You didn't know that, but let's go on and let's talk more about today, the present, and then, like I said, we're gonna talk about what the country, the world, Tennessee. We're not talking politics, but what we're seeing in this country that you and I probably never thought we'd see in our lifetime. But let's. Anything else you want to talk about?
Just say before we stop and before we leave the county commission, I'd just like to encourage our public. It's an important job, and it is a job. It's not a position. It's work, and it requires effort. And I'd just like to encourage the public to get involved in that process because there's so much this county needs, and there's so much that can only be accomplished through the efforts of the public. By interacting with those commissioners and letting them feel what they feel and just sharing the importance and the priorities and where we need to go, you know, casting a vision. That's leadership. Leadership
That's
is
right.
about developing a plan, seeing ahead, casting vision, and then determining how to get there.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it takes everybody to get there. So I just want to put a last pitch in the county commission to encourage these people, get involved. Let your commissioner know what you feel. If it's mostly tax, you know, there's always that issue that's pretty hard and pretty big in the minds of people, as it should be, because that's the biggest thing county commission does. But I just want to say get involved. We've done some wonderful things. You know, we're putting water in people's homes that have never had
water before.
What a blessing that is to those people, you know. So we've looked. There's been some vision cast, and right now some of that's being done. And I give credit to the county commission, to our county executive, and so many other people. And I know that's going to continue. So I appreciate being a part of it.
Someone with the chamber, obviously, we work with the county commission a lot, like the cities, like the state, federal, whatever. But you said something, the influence of one person still. County commissioners pay attention who comes to meetings, the phone calls. Our citizens' voice counts. You might chat.
Absolutely. I don't remember which run it was, but I was at the polling place at All Good School, one of the elections, and it was people would come in. I'd speak to them, and I'd ask them for their vote. as they went in to vote, and I had a couple I noticed that avoided me, went through the grass to get up there. Well, being who I am, and you know, I spoke a little louder, and I asked them to vote for me. It was just, you know, I didn't run after them. I just asked them, sure. I appreciate your vote and consideration. The gentleman said, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Okay.
And always to be challenged, wasn't going to try to change his vote, but I did want to know why. So I went to him and his wife, and I said, if you don't mind telling me, could you tell me why?
That way
that's
you
all
can,
I'm gonna,
sure.
That's it. I'm not going to try to change. I just would like to know why. Maybe it's something I need to change. He shared with me a particular vote that I had made.
Yeah.
And that he disagreed with.
No question.
And I explained to him why I voted for
okay,
it.
Okay,
and
sure.
It had everything in the world to do with my district. It wasn't about the whole county. This was a basic 12th district.
Commissioner service to your district.
And why I voted for it. And I'll never forget it. And I said, I appreciate the opportunity to explain that to you. I didn't really know the gentleman or his wife, but sure. He left me and he said, Mike, I just want to tell you now, I'm going to go in here and vote for you.
Wow.
That's how
but that
that's,
wasn't the intent. That,
absolutely.
That is a result.
But the point is, the interaction of him knowing the issue and knowing why we took the position, I thought was that important.
Yeah.
And I still think it is. I think the people of the public need to talk to the commissioners and let them know.
Well, you and I were, again, talking off air, which we do. We tried to catch up, Mike, but we didn't get there today. The future is so important, probably more important for what you just said, quality of life, building community, making decisions. We're one of the fastest growing counties now in the state of Tennessee. With that come a lot of good people are moving in here. But talk about the future and what you see and quality of life and how we can ensure community like we have today. I mean, that's why we're here as retirees, is we found a home.
Amen.
And I want people to find the home here in the future. So,
what I think is important, George, is that we recognize we're all in the same game. We're all in the same boat. We're
Amen.
All seeking the same things.
Amen.
The Bible, the first most important thing the Bible teaches you and I is love. It's a four-letter word,
right.
But it's through the very heart of the entire Bible. We're to love God first and each other.
That's
as
amen.
Much
amen.
As we love ourselves. Now, that's a commandment. That's not, that's a command. He told us to do that. Well, now, that takes effort.
Amen.
You know, if you make me mad, it's hard for me
hard
to love you.
Somebody.
So that means Mike, in order to get to that point, has got to keep himself in the Word and let God talk to him and just lead him through that love effort to each other. And
you and I are old enough to know Jackie DeShannon, somewhere in the 50s or 60s, had a song called What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. And it's no different today than it was.
Yes.
So, anything else? I've got a few seconds here, and
I've enjoyed it, George. It's been a blessing, and I appreciate the invitation, and I hope it's been something.
You're my guy,
well,
George Hofford with Mike Atwood. See you next time.